welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you are joining us today. For today's podcast, Pastor Huey continues our Sticks and Stones series and the power of our words as he brings a teaching entitled Productive or Destructive. Prepare your hearts for a challenging and uplifting word from God as we learn to control the tongue through the power of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy, be encouraged, and be empowered. God bless.
James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And today I'm going to be continuing a series on sticks and stones, the power of our words. James 3 verse 1 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter or a greater judgment, or a harsher judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles or a little fire destroys. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Does no spring yield both salt water and fresh?" Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. Now, dear God, bless the speaking of your word. Holy Spirit, come and have your way, sir. Even now, begin to stir up the hearts of your people. Just stretch forth your hands towards me. Everyone just stretch forth your hands. Really connect with this word right now. Be proactive in connecting with this word even as I'm praying. Lord, I just pray, God, that every outstretched hand, God, will receive from you today. Lord, I ask you, Almighty God, to just have your way, to move by your Spirit, God, to bless the people in this house. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I invite you, sir, to just come and bless the people of God. Lord, as I open my mouth before your people, I open my ears to heaven. Speak to me, O God, as I speak to your people. Let your life be released in this house this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Angela. Well, this morning, as again I continue the series on sticks and stones, the power of our words, I'm going to speak a message to you entitled Productive or Destructive? Productive or Destructive? Which one of those words best describe your speech? Which one of those words best describe what come out of your mouth? Are the words you speak productive, meaning they produce life, they produce that which is good, that which is of God? Or are your words destructive, meaning they tear down or they destroy elements of your life and the lives of others? James, in these verses, he described the tongue as being untamable. He said, no man can tame the tongue. And that word untamable means something that is not capable of being controlled. What James is telling us is that as a man or as a woman, you cannot control your tongue. Even though it's in your mouth. Even though it's part of you. Even though you own it. James said you cannot control it. Does it mean there's no hope for us? Absolutely not. We know that God will have us speak words that are right. We know that God will have us speak words of life, words that are productive. So how do we do that? What James is trying to convey to us is that it takes a power beyond you to control what you say and keep your tongue in check. As I've stressed throughout this series, the words that you speak are powerful. The words that you speak, they have the ability to create. They shape. They form the realities of your world. The words you speak forms the realities of your world. They shape your world. They form the realities of the world that you live in and of those, to some degree, that are attached to your world. Your world is affected by what you say. You must never forget that. What we say and what we don't say are both important. We know it's important what we say, but it's also as important what we do, what we do not say. Proper speech is not only saying the right words at the right time, but also controlling the desire to say that which should not be spoken. So when it comes to controlling your tongue, it's not about just speaking the right thing. Sometimes it's about not speaking the wrong thing. Let me give you a few examples of the fruit of an untamed tongue. How about gossip? That is the fruit of an untamed tongue. How about putting others down? That is the fruit of an untamed tongue. How about bragging about you? That's the fruit of an untamed tongue. What about exaggerating the truth? Oh, I just told a little white lie. Huh? A lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. How about manipulating with words? Trying to control the situation. Make something be something that is not about what you say. How about complaining? That's the fruit of an untamed tongue. What about flattery? Lying. False teaching. All those are just a few examples of the fruit of an untamed tongue. Before you speak, ask yourself three questions. Three questions. Question number one, is what I'm about to say true? Before you speak, ask yourself that question. Question number two, is what I'm about to say kind? And question number three, is what I'm about to say necessary? Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? If you would ask those three questions, you will find that they will establish a boundary to help you control your words, help you control what they say, what you say. They will help to determine if the words you speak are productive or if they are destructive. Now, on the one hand, something can be true, but not kind and not necessary, so it should not be spoken. On the other hand, something can be true and not kind, yet must be spoken out of necessity. that in the life of Jesus. In Matthew 23, Jesus delivers a blistering, a scathing rebuke of the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of the law. After he had first warned his disciples about them, he publicly rebuked them. And though what he said was not kind, it was necessary because it exposed the truth, or it revealed the truth about these men. The Lord directs his condemnation at hypocritical, self-righteous men who were void of inner spiritual truths. There are a lot of people in the church who look good on the outside, but inside they're full of the world. They look good on the outside, but inside they're full of sin. They're full of evil. They're full of destruction. So everything Jesus said was not kind, but everything he said was true, and everything he said was necessary. Are you tracking with me? But this is the key to Jesus' speech. He only spoke as he was directed by the Holy Spirit. His words were productive because he yielded his will to the will of his Father, and he yielded what he wanted to do, what he wanted to do, to what the Holy Spirit would have him do. Listen to the words of Jesus found in the book of John. Read 5 or 6 verses. John 5:19. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner." John 5:30. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but I seek the will of the Father who sent me." John 7:17. "If anyone wills to do his will, God's will, he should know concerning the doctrine or my teachings, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." John 8:28. "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak those things." In John 14:10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, who lives in me, he's the one who does the work," or "he's the one who speaks through me." And John wrote this about Jesus in John 3:34. He said, "He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, but God does not give the Spirit by measure." So how did Jesus know what to say? He knew because he only sought to do God's will, and he yielded to what God spoke to him through the Holy Spirit. And that established safe boundaries for him to speak, to say, even to rebuke. How can we be sure that our words are productive and not destructive? By making sure that our desire is to do the will of God, and by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Make sure your desire, what you desire, is to do the will of God. And then yield to the Holy Spirit and let him lead you. Knowing what to say is a huge challenge for us, is it not? I can tell you it's a huge challenge for me. Sometimes certain things feel right to be said, but we got to check ourselves and make sure it is right to be said. It's difficult to know when to speak the truth in love out of necessity when the truth does not paint the best picture. That is extremely difficult to know, yet God wants our speech to be productive and not destructive. Now, James started this dialogue. He starts this chapter with a warning. He warns of the responsibility that rests on those who teach the word. If you teach the word, or if you're a leader, please listen to me. If you aspire to teach the word, please listen to me. As teachers of God's word, our responsibility is far greater than those who do not teach, because our words affect the spiritual lives of others. When I stand up here before you, the words that comes out of my mouth have influence over your life. And God said, what James wrote here is that because of this responsibility, my judgment will be more stricter than those who do not stand up here. He's going to hold me to a higher level of accountability than he holds you. The words of those who teach others will be judged more harshly by God, because we influence how others live out their life with Jesus. That, my friend, is very serious. So please, please, please do not aspire or do not desire to become a teacher of God's word unless you know it is something that God has called you to do. It is not a light thing. Yet I'm always amazed at how many people want to do it. As if there's something glamorous about what we do. I can tell you there's nothing glamorous about it. There is a weight and a responsibility that unless you do it, you never understand. I can tell you, as teachers of the word, we can stand up and deliver the most powerful anointed word of God, and for the next 12 hours feel absolutely defeated. Why? Because of the battle, the struggle that ensued. And also because I believe God wants to keep us humble. But if you know that it's God's will for you to teach his word or to be a leader in the church in any way, then also know that your life is always on display before people. I can't hide like you can. I can't hide. You see, as teachers of the word, we're not only responsible before God for us. I'm not only responsible before God for my life. I'm also responsible before God for your life. And that's a very, very heavy responsibility. I submit to you today, the only way to not lead people astray is to be led by the Holy Spirit and not be led or not lead out of your own soul. See, your soul desires what you will. But Jesus said, I only do what my Father will. James 3:2 says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, we know that there's only been one perfect man to have ever walked this earth. And there will only be one perfect man to ever walk this earth, and that man is?
Jesus.
Who is it?
Jesus.
There's only one. Yet James said, anyone who does not stumble in word is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. But listen, James is not saying demonstrate your perfection by not stumbling in what you say. It's easy to think that that's what he meant, but that's not it at all. But the most salient understanding of what James argues here is just the opposite. It is impossible for you to be perfect. Therefore, it is impossible for you to control your tongue. Just like it is impossible for you in your own strength to keep the rest of your body in check, more so with your tongue. I will venture to say it's easier at times to keep the rest of your body under control than it is to keep this little thing in our mouth in check. James said, when compared to the rest of the body, the tongue, though it's very small, is very powerful. And he gives us great examples to make his point. He said in verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn the whole animal. Now, let me see a show of hands. If you say, Pastor, I like riding horses. Let me see who like to ride horses. Okay, we got a few. Now, let me see a show of hands of those who say, I have ridden a horse before. I've ridden a horse at one time. You've ever ridden a horse in your life? Wow. God bless you. God bless you. Let me tell you, I've never ridden a horse in my life, and guess what? I don't care if I ever will, ever will. I have no desire to ever ride a horse. You want to know why? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I do not desire to ride a horse. You say, you're scared, Pastor? Well, yeah, that's probably part of it. Okay. But let me tell you. Because of the brute strength and the power of that animal and my lack of understanding as to how a small bit in his mouth can keep it under control. I don't understand it. I mean, I know that horse is probably 100 times stronger than I am. And I'm supposed to control that massive animal with a little small thing in his mouth. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. My mind cannot comprehend how something so small can control something so big and so powerful. I can only visualize, I get this picture. Every time I even think about being on a horse, I get this picture of this massive animal starting to kick and buck and jump all over the place. And I'm up on top of it. Not where I want to be. Because I don't see how that small bit can keep that thing under control. Yet James said, with that bit, with that little small device, we're able to turn the entire body of that massive animal, causing it, though it is so much stronger than we are, to obey us. Listen, he said the tongue has the same power over the rest of your body. Where your tongue goes, the rest of you will follow. If your tongue speaks words that are productive, your body will be in a productive state of existence. If your tongue speaks words that are destructive, the world that you live in will be in a destructive state of existence. Your body will follow your tongue. James goes on to say in verse 4, he said, look at the ships. Although they are very large and may become driven by strong winds, they're controlled by a small rudder that causes a massive ship to go wherever the captain wants it to go. You know, my wife and I, a few months ago, we went on a cruise. And we were so excited because our first stop was going to be in Aruba. Never been to Aruba. Always wanted to go to Aruba. Well, the day we were supposed to dock in Aruba, the winds was too high. Something like 50 miles per hour. So guess what? We waved at Aruba as we passed by. Because they closed down all the docks. But James is saying that even in strong winds, the wind was very strong. You could feel the wind where we were. Yet the captain was able to keep that ship on the course that he wanted to go by controlling that small rudder. And he kept that very large ship going where the captain wanted to go. Small, but very influential. He then writes in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member that boasts great things. It is a little member with a lot of power. And the tongue is disproportionately powerful. So when it is under control, the entire body is under control. And when it is out of control, the entire body is out of control. As the bit determines where a horse goes, as the rudder determines where a ship goes, the tongue determines where the rest of your body will go. It is disproportionately powerful. And the key word there is disproportionately. That means the tongue, though very small in proportion to the rest of the body, has great influence over the body, and it is out of proportion to its size. Its influence, its power is out of proportion to its size. James gives us three analogies illustrating the tongue's disproportionate power. One, a bit that controls the horse. Two, a rudder that controls that steers the ship. And three, a small spark that can burst into flame and consume an entire forest. He said in verse 6, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your life on fire, but it is set on fire by hell itself. Another interpretation is, an out of control tongue will be in hell. An out of control tongue will lead you to hell. In this last analogy, James compares the damage a tongue can do to a raging fire. And he says the tongue's wickedness has its source in hell itself. So when you're speaking words that are not of God, when you're speaking words that are destructive, what's the source of those words? Yeah. What's the source of those words? Yeah. Some of you don't want to say that. Doesn't matter if you want to say it or not. That's what the Bible says. Right. The source of destructive words is hell. You see, an uncontrolled tongue can and will do irreparable damage. Satan uses the tongue of men to divide people. He uses the tongue of men to pit one person against another. He encourages the use of idle and hateful words that are damaging. word that spread quickly like a wildfire out of control, destroying everything within its reach. Once destructive words are released, they set in motion damaging results that only the Lord himself can stop or put out. We, as mere men, we're helpless in stopping the results of destructive words once we speak them. Once you speak it, it's out there. And listen, we dare not be careless with our words, thinking that we can apologize later. Do you hear me? Now, I know this is a very sobering message. Sometimes we need to be sobered. Some of us get too drunk with the world. That we need to be sobered. We need the word of God to sober us down, to help bring us back to a place of reality. We dare not be careless with the words, with our word, thinking we can apologize later. Because even if we do apologize, the damage is already done. The scars of what was spoken will remain. So before you speak, remember that words are like a wildfire. You cannot control them, and you cannot reverse the damage that they do. You cannot tame your tongue nor mitigate the damage of your tongue. Man has discovered ways, according to James, to tame all kinds of animals. Man can even tame a bird. Man tamed this, a fish, whales, all kinds of animals. Even reptiles can be tamed by man. Man kind of figured out how to tame, and I'm going to tell you one reason why. Remember what I taught you several weeks ago? We have dominion. Right? God's given us dominion. So because we have dominion, then we can tame them. What does it tell you about your tongue? We don't have dominion over it. It takes a higher power to exercise dominion over the tongue. James says, no man can tame the tongue because it is restless, it is evil, and it is full of deadly poison. Our tongue, if we're not careful, will be manipulated by evil spirits. Voices that speak to our minds, words that will, if we allow to flow off the tongue, sets on fire the very courses of hell in this life. Yeah. If no man can control the tongue, what is our hope? The only hope we have is to give control of our tongue to the Holy Spirit. He is our hope. He is the tamer of the tongue of man. Therefore, we must yield our tongue to him and let him direct what we say. Matthew chapter 10. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 16. Jesus said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogue. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, this is what Jesus said. Do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. That is our hope, church. The Holy Spirit of God. He is the one who can tame your tongue. You cannot. Because if you can tame your tongue, you'll be perfect. And since we all admit that we can't be perfect, then we also are admitting that we cannot control our tongue. It must be the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus starts out these verses by telling us how we're to represent him. He said, Be wise as serpents. And the NIV uses the word shrewd. Does Jesus want me to be shrewd? He said, be shrewd as a snake, but innocent as a dove. Now, the word shrewd means to be astute. It means to have or to show sharp powers of judgment. It means having or showing the ability to understand matters and make good judgment based on that understanding. It means to use discernment. Now, can I tell you a little secret about me? It's not a secret. Most of you know this. If you, anyone who's close to me, who's on this staff here, they know this about me. I think I have good discernment. My problem is I can't act on it. What a dilemma, huh? You see, I'm an engineer by degree, and I'm trained to process things. So I need facts. I'm telling you, I can know something as evil as a day is long, but if I don't have facts, I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to be shrewd. I don't know how to use wisdom in that way. I'm being just open and honest with you. That's the way I am wired. Now, my wife, on the other hand, you hear what she said? She's just the opposite. My God, she has nothing. I mean, to her, I mean, facts was there. Throw it out the window. I'm telling you, this is what it is. Most ladies are that way, right? I see a lot of ladies shaking their head. I can't. Can I tell you? Sometimes it gets me in trouble. So you can pray about that. Pray about that for me. Pray that God would not only give me discernment, but also give me the courage to use that discernment. Because I don't know how to do that. But I can tell you, it gets me in trouble. It gets me in trouble. And I end up dealing with situations that should have been fixed a long time ago. Because I'm looking for the facts. I need the facts. I'm from Missouri, I guess. You gotta show me. Is that bad? I don't know. It's who I am. But I know who I am. So one thing that I'm learning to do, I'm learning to surround myself with people who give me good counsel. And I'm learning more and more to trust what those people tell me, even if I don't have the facts. And that is very, very, very hard for me to do. But Jesus said, be shrewd as a snake, but innocent as a dove. Shrewd means to use discernment, to discern if something is of God. And discernment is really, listen, you don't discern three things. There's only three things to discern. And this helps me when I think about this, okay? There are only three things to discern. Is this of God? Is this of the devil? Or is this of man? Period. That's it. That's the only discernment you use. Is this God? Is this a devil or this man? So when you think about discerning of spirits, that's what you're trying to discern. You're not trying to discern all this other stuff. Just one of those three things. To be shrewd also means to use common sense. And I'm pretty good at that. And I can do that pretty good at times. But Jesus tells us we must balance being shrewd with being innocent and humble. Shrewdness left alone, please hear me. Shrewdness left alone leads to arrogance and self-righteousness. And that's a dangerous state of existence. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 19, and 20, he gives the key to us controlling the tongue, that is to give control of what we say over to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, do not worry or do not think about what you're to say or how you're to say it. But in that time, you'll be given what to say, but it will not be you speaking. But the Spirit of your Father will speak through you. How do we speak words that are productive? We speak by the Holy Spirit. We yield to Him. We listen to Him, and we say what He tells us to say. Yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit. Let Him direct what comes out of your mouth. Do not seek to do or fulfill your will or what you desire, but seek the will of God. Seek the desires of God. Do not speak or lead others out of your soul. Please hear me in this. Even the goodness of your heart. A person who leads by his or her soul is a dangerous person. You must know. You can lay it by others. Even the goodness of your heart will get you in trouble. What made Adam perfect? Here's his wife. This woman God's given. And this woman, they've done what God said, done. Just baby Adam, out of the goodness of his heart, did not want her to stand alone and think. Wow. Although he knew what God told him, God said, don't eat too, Adam. In the day you eat it, you will surely die. But when his woman tried to, when I preached the message, who told you that? Remember what I told you? Don't you let somebody who wasn't with you when God spoke to you tell you that God said something other than what God said? Yes. Don't you do it. If God spoke something to your heart, don't you let somebody tell you something different. Eve took that fruit. And there was Adam there with him. He didn't want her to stand alone. So he disobeyed God. He did not follow the Spirit of God. He followed what was inside him. Don't be someone who leads out of your soul. And every one of us believers just some respect, you're called to lead somebody. Do not lead out of your soul, but lead by the Spirit. That is the only way you know you're going to get it right. You may get it right if you lead by your soul, but you may get it wrong. And sometimes the consequences are far too high to pay. So the only place of safety that we have, listen, the only place of safety that I can offer you is to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's the only guaranteed place of safety that I can offer. Anything else can lead you down the wrong path. James expounds on that in verses 13 through 18. So I'm going to close by reading those verses, then we're going to pray. James 3, verse 13. Listen to what he said. Who is wise and understanding among you? What did Jesus say? Be wise as a serpent. And James says, who's wise among you? Then James tells us how to be wise. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So if you're self-seeking, if you're seeking what you want, if you're seeking your own will, if you're seeking your own desires instead of the will and the desires of God, James said, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, it is then peaceable, it is gentle, it is willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James said in verse 14, if there's bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, the temptation will be to boast and lie against that which is true. The heart of man apart from God is evil because it seeks what is best for man. James teaches this wisdom is not of God, but this wisdom is earthly, it is sensual, it is demonic, it is born out of hell. But where there's envy and self-seeking, there will be confusion and every evil thing there. I didn't say it. James, the elder brother of Jesus, did, as inspired by the Holy Spirit. But productive words are words of wisdom. Words that come from above. Words that are pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit. Words that are without partiality and without hypocrisy. Those are the words that we are to speak. But we cannot do it apart from the Holy Spirit. Only He can tame your tongue.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast, a place of new beginnings and hope for the future. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. If you would like more information about our church, or if you'd like to submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week and God bless.